Today is Friday, the 21st of August, 2026, and you are listening to the World Socialist Website. On the 86th anniversary of the assassination of Leon Trotsky by Andre Damon. On the afternoon of August 20, 1940, Ramon Mercader, an agent of the Stalinist secret police, GPU, attacked Leon Trotsky as he sat at his desk in Coyoacan, Mexico. Trotsky died in a Mexico City hospital the next day, August 21. Trotsky, born in the Ukrainian village of Yanovka in the Kherson province, was a co-leader with Vladimir Lenin of the October Revolution of 1917, the commander of the Red Army, and the founder of the Fourth International. Trotsky's assassination marked the consummation of a violent counter-revolutionary assault on the cadre and leadership of the Bolshevik Revolution. Its anniversary this year coincides with the 90th anniversary of the first Moscow trial, which opened on August 19, 1936, and began the Great Terror. Among the accused in the first trial were the central leadership of the October Revolution and the founders of the Soviet state. Grigory Zinoviev had been Lenin's closest collaborator through the emigration years from 1908. Chairman of the Petrograd Soviet from December 1917 and from March 1919, Chairman of the Executive Committee of the Communist International. Lev Kamenev had chaired the Moscow Soviet from 1918 and, as Deputy Chairman of the Council of People's Commissars, presided over the Soviet government through Lenin's final illness. In the two trials that followed, in January 1937 and March 1938, the accused included Yuri Piatakov, whom Lenin's testament ranked with Bukharin as, quote, the most outstanding figures, end quote, of the party's younger generation, Bukharin himself, who had edited Pravda for a decade, and whom the same testament called, quote, a most valuable and major theorist of the party, end quote, and Alexei Rykov, who had succeeded Lenin as head of the Soviet government. The concocted basis of the trial that began in 1936 was that the accused had formed a Trotskyite-Zinovievite terrorist centre, directed from exile by Trotsky, to murder Sergei Kirov in December 1934 and to assassinate Stalin and the rest of the leadership. Trotsky correctly branded the trial the greatest frame-up the world had ever seen. By 1936, the contradictions of Soviet society were mounting, the product of the bureaucracy's program of socialism in one country, of forced collectivization, and of a privileged caste consuming an ever greater share of the national income. 16 defendants were shot on August 25, 1936. 31 more were condemned to death in the two trials that followed. The conflict between Stalinism and Trotskyism was between two fundamentally opposed political perspectives. 13 years earlier, in 1923, Trotsky and the left opposition opened a fight against the bureaucratic degeneration of the Russian Communist Party and the Soviet state, a degeneration personified by Joseph Stalin, who had become the party's general secretary the year before. The programmatic foundation of the emerging Stalinist reaction was a doctrine of socialism in one country, first advanced in 1924. This was counterposed to Trotsky's theory of permanent revolution, vindicated in October 1917, which held that the socialist revolution begins on national foundations but can be completed only on the world arena. Trotsky was expelled from the party in 1927 and deported from the Soviet Union in 1929. Trotsky explained that Stalin had functioned as the, quote, gravedigger of the revolution, end quote, and Stalinism as an agency of world imperialism. Quote, as a conscious political force, he wrote in The Revolution Betrayed in 1936, quote, the bureaucracy has betrayed the revolution, end quote, by enforcing bourgeois norms of distribution for the benefit of an upper stratum. It was, quote, preparing a capitalist restoration, end quote. The bureaucracy saw those who led the October Revolution as an impediment to be politically destroyed. Soviet archival records count 681,692 executions in 1937 and 1938 alone. Of the 139 members and candidate members of the Central Committee elected in 1934, 98 were arrested and shot, as Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev admitted in 1956. Trotsky, in the 1937 essay, Stalinism and Bolshevism, wrote that, quote, the present purge draws between Bolshevism and Stalinism not simply a bloody line, but a whole river of blood, end quote. As the historian Vadim Rogovin documented, the terror extended far beyond the leadership of the Bolshevik Party. Scientists, educators, and literary figures were murdered en masse. The poet Osip Mandelstam died in a transit camp in 1938. The writer Isaac Babel was shot in 1940, and so was the theatre director Sefolot Meyerhold. The geneticist Nikolai Vavilov was left to starve in Saratov prison, where he died in 1943. Nor did the killing stop at the Soviet border. Spanish police seized Andreas Nin, the leader of the PUM in Barcelona in 1937, and handed him to the GPU, which tortured him to death. Erwin Wolf, who had been Trotsky's secretary in Norway, was kidnapped in Barcelona that July and never seen again. In September, the GPU gunned down Ignaz Reis, one of its own officers, on a road outside Lausanne after he broke publicly with Stalin and declared for the Fourth International. This was a political genocide, the targeted annihilation of an entire political generation. The terror cleared the way for the pact concluded between Stalin and Hitler on August 23, 1939, which gave Nazi Germany a free hand to begin the Second World War. At the centre of the terror stood the conspiracy to murder Trotsky, who even in exile remained Stalin's most dangerous enemy. Millions inside the Soviet Union remembered his role in the October Revolution and the Civil War, and knew that the campaign against him was built on lies. Pavel Sudoplatov, the secret police officer who ran the operation, recounted in his 1994 memoir, Special Tasks, that Stalin gave the order in March 1939, quote, if Trotsky is finished, the threat will be eliminated, end quote. The assassination conspiracy was a massive political operation, and at its centre was the infiltration of the Trotskyist movement itself. The GPU's agents were in place years before Stalin gave the order, in Paris, New York, and Coyoacan, as the International Committee of the Fourth International established in its investigation, security, and the Fourth International. Mark Zborowski, the GPU's man beside Trotsky's son, Leon Sedov, in Paris, prepared the murders of Reis and of Sedov himself, who died in February 1938 in a clinic Zborowski had chosen. Sylvia Callan, who worked as Socialist Workers' Party leader James P. Cannon's personal secretary, admitted before a federal grand jury in 1958 that she had been a GPU agent. Joseph Hansen, one of Trotsky's secretaries in the Coyoacan household, was working for the GPU. An investigation published by the World Socialist website in 2021 concluded that the evidence, quote, leads overwhelmingly to the conclusion, end quote, that Sylvia Agilov, who gave Makadere his entry into the household, quote, was an agent of the GPU who played a critical role in the assassination of Leon Trotsky, end quote. The murder of Trotsky was the most consequential political assassination of the 20th century, the political decapitation of the socialist movement. Amidst all of this, the escalating campaign of terror, the betrayal of the Spanish Revolution, the approach of Stalin's alliance with Hitler, Trotsky established the Fourth International, which held its founding congress in secrecy outside Paris on September 3, 1938. Central to its founding was Trotsky's insistence that unless the Stalinist bureaucracy was overthrown by the working class, it would restore capitalism in the USSR. The political revolution he called for was a component of the program of World Socialist Revolution. The program drafted by Trotsky for the Congress put it directly, quote, either the bureaucracy becoming ever more the organ of the world bourgeoisie in the workers' state will overthrow the new forms of property and plunge the country back into capitalism, or the working class will crush the bureaucracy and open the way to socialism, end quote. Trotsky's prognosis proved correct. 35 years ago this week, the failed coup of August 19-21, 1991, opened the final act of the dissolution of the Soviet Union. The men who filled the posts of the murdered made their careers on the vacancies. They became known, as Rogovin recorded, as, quote, the newly chosen of 1937, end quote. They ruled the Soviet Union for the next half century and brought it to the brink of collapse. The dissolution was finalised by Mikhail Gorbachev, General Secretary from March 1985. On December 26, 1991, the Soviet Union formally ceased to exist. The dissolution carved the Soviet Union into more than a dozen capitalist states. In each of them, a new ruling class was formed through the plunder of state property. In Ukraine, this process has produced an oligarchy tied to Washington and Berlin. In Russia, a regime resting on great Russian nationalism. The war between them, now in its fifth year, is a direct product of 1991. Instigated by NATO, it is conducted on the Russian side by a regime that fights not in defence of the interests of the masses, but in the interests of the capitalist class that emerged from the Restoration. 90 years after the Moscow trials, in a new period of capitalist crisis, the agencies of world reaction are again seeking to suppress the Trotskyist movement by force. On August 10, 2026, the Pervomaysk City District Court in the Nikolaev region sentenced Bogdan Syrichuk, a Ukrainian socialist and the leader of the Young Guard of Bolshevik-Leninists, Young Trotskyists in political solidarity with the International Committee of the Fourth International, to 15 years, with confiscation of property, convicting him of high treason under martial law. It also ordered the destruction of the organization's program and printed literature. In prosecuting Bogdan, the Ukrainian state was explicit that what it was punishing was a dissemination of the ideas of Leon Trotsky, declaring that Bogdan and the WSWS promote, quote, communist ideology in the tradition of, quote, the political current of Trotskyism. The court explicitly condemns Bogdan for his collaboration with the International Committee of the Fourth International. Quote, the Fourth International is a communist international organization, an alternative to Stalinism. It is based on the theoretical legacy of Leon Trotsky and sets as its task the carrying out of world revolution, the victory of the working class, and the building of socialism. End quote. For advocacy of the perspective of Trotskyism, Bogdan has been sentenced to 15 years in prison. His persecution is a measure of the fear that the perspective of Trotskyism inspires in the ruling classes. Throughout the world, workers and young people are entering into struggle against a social order that offers them war, inequality, and dictatorship. This will produce an enormous growth of Trotskyism, the authentic Marxism of our epoch, whose heritage the International Committee of the Fourth International has defended through decades of struggle. In The Perspective for Which Trotsky Lived and Died, The Program of World Socialist Revolution, they must and will find the way forward. A Case of Political Sabotage. Duncan Chappell's Filthy Provocation Against Imprisoned Ukrainian Socialist Bogdan Syrichuk by the WSWS International Editorial Board. Duncan Chappell, a member of the British section of the Pavloite International Network and a regular contributor to International Viewpoint and Anti-Capitalist Resistance, has published a libel against imprisoned Ukrainian anti-war socialist Bogdan Syrichuk. His aim is to sabotage the growing international opposition to Bogdan's persecution by the Zelensky regime, injecting poisonous misinformation and lies into the public discussion of the case. He is acting as a political provocateur whose actions serve the interests of the fascistic Ukrainian regime and NATO. The operation comes at a critical time when a defence campaign is preparing an appeal against Bogdan's conviction for high treason under martial law, carrying a 15-year sentence. In a brief note published to his Red Mole Substack page, Chappell assembles a collection of lies so brazen that not even Ukraine's kangaroo court included them in its charges. He accuses Bogdan of being a, quote, Russian-backed Ukrainian paid to submit pro-Russian war propaganda to the WSWS website, end quote, in communication with a handler and in possession of, quote, several Russian military items, end quote. Chappell concludes, quote, he looks like a paid operative rather than a political prisoner, end quote. These are outright lies. No reference to payments from a Russian individual appears either in the list of charges for which Bogdan was convicted or in the sentencing rationale. The verdict states that Bogdan is guilty of treason because of his collaboration with a, quote, foreign organization, end quote. That organization is identified repeatedly as the International Committee of the Fourth International, ICFI, which publishes the World Socialist website, WSWS, and to which the Young Guard of Bolshevik Leninists, YGBL, the group led by Bogdan, is affiliated. Each of the six charges against Bogdan relates to a WSWS article opposing the NATO-Russia war in Ukraine and calling for the unity of the Russian, Ukrainian, and international working class against it. The prosecution extensively detailed Bogdan's collaboration with the WSWS and its associates. There are over 30 references to the WSWS, over 20 to anonymized individuals associated with it, at least 15 to the YGBL, 7 to the Fourth International and the ICFI, and 1 to Clara Weiss, a writer for the WSWS. The anonymized person 9, referenced 4 times, is a chairman of the International Editorial Board of the WSWS, David North. The judge addresses a defense argument that, quote, the prosecutor failed to prove the existence of a foreign organization to which assistance was provided and that its activities had the relevant subversive orientation, end quote. The court's response makes clear that this is a political prosecution. Quote, the International Committee of the Fourth International, ICFI, is an international political organization known for its publications on the World Socialist website. The Fourth International is a communist international organization an alternative to Stalinism. It is based on the theoretical legacy of OCOBA_36, Leon Trotsky, and sets as its objective the achievement of world revolution, the victory of the working class, and the construction of socialism. End quote. It is Bogdan's socialist internationalist political activity which is branded as treason and pro-Russian disinformation. There is a single sentence on page 10 of an 18-page judgment which refers to Bogdan, quote, initiating with OCOBA_29, person 29, the receipt of monthly monetary remuneration and receiving such funds, end quote. This sentence occurs in a paragraph devoted exclusively to Bogdan's relationship with the WSWS, specifically to writing assignments. There is no indication, let alone allegation, that the remuneration came from any agency of the Russian state or any individual associated with it. Neither this claimed event nor OCOBA_29 is ever referenced again. The document details extensive surveillance of Bogdan by, quote, covert investigative search action, end quote. Had there been anything that could have been used to claim Bogdan was in the pay of a Russian state official, it would have been the central focus of the entire prosecution. There is not a single reference to any Russian state agency in connection with Bogdan's communications. Bogdan did not have a handler. That fiction character has been concocted entirely by Chappell. To reinforce his libel, Chappell seizes on the Ukrainian prosecution's listing of Russian military items under the physical evidence. He conceals the fact that these items, one, were supposedly found at an address different from Bogdan's, without even a claim being made about its connection to him, and two, were never produced in court either physically or by photograph or witness testimony. Once again, if there was any shred of plausibility to these accusations, they would have been made central to the prosecution's treason case, and every item listed would have been paraded in court. They were not. The judgment instead orders these mythical items to be destroyed. Chappell's last line of attack against Bogdan is his statement that, quote, human rights NGOs in Ukraine are not taking up his case. No explanation is given by Chappell for the abstention of the NGOs. Clearly, he is implying that the NGOs view Bogdan's case with suspicion. The obvious explanation destroys his insinuation. Ukraine's human rights NGOs are heavily dependent on Western state-linked funding and broadly support the war, and all of them operate under the same martial law regime now being wielded against Bogdan. No NGO taking up the case of an accused traitor prosecuted by the SBU could do so without exposing itself to state retribution. The malicious intent of Chappell's post is underscored by his actions in preparing the attack. On Saturday, August 15, he sent an email to the WSWS requesting additional information. It concluded, quote, I would be glad to have a response by Friday, 21 August. I expect to publish the following Monday, with or without one, and I would much prefer with, end quote. He published his provocation the next day, Sunday, August 16, 5 days before his own stated deadline for a response, and 8 days before his announced publication date. He then told a commenter on his post that, quote, the ICFI, whom I wrote to about this, did not reply to clarify, end quote. Chappell's message was sent as a setup for his attack. It was also a phishing operation for information that would be of assistance to the prosecution as Bogdan prepares his appeal. He demanded answers to, quote, two findings that your coverage has not addressed, end quote. After referencing Bogdan's alleged, quote, receipt of a monthly monetary reward, end quote, which he acknowledges is, quote, at paragraph level in single sentence, end quote, Chappell demands, quote, was the World Socialist website or any body or individual associated with the ICFI paying Bogdan Cirituk that monthly retainer, stipend, expenses, or any other regular sum? End quote. Chappell's question makes clear that the court provided no information whatsoever about the origins and significance of the money referenced obliquely and only once in the document. Nevertheless, Chappell proceeds to manufacture the claim that money was provided by a, quote, handler, end quote, who is not referenced by the court. He then refers to the, quote, second finding that, quote, the articles were prepared with the assistance of citizens of the Russian Federation, not individually identified, end quote, asking, quote, who were they and do you know what was their role, end quote. It is not a secret that the Young Guard of Bolshevik Leninists is an organization that unites Ukrainian and Russian youth opposed to the war. Chappell apparently wanted the WSWS to provide him with names that will expose them to targeting by political police. He then demands to know how Bogdan will be conducting his defense. Quote, will the appeal contest the court's finding on the monthly payments or accept the finding and contest its characterization? End quote. Chappell was soliciting privileged information about the legal strategy of a defendant in a pending appeal, information of value to no one but the prosecution. There are no requests for clarity about the Russian military items allegation, which he brazenly cites in his Substack post. The only credible interpretation of Chappell's actions is that he set out to mount a provocation at the earliest possible opportunity against a defence campaign that is rapidly gaining support and which is politically damaging to the NATO war, the Zelensky regime, and their apologists. This is confirmed by Chappell's writings, which centre on denunciations of any individual or political tendency which does not wholeheartedly support the war against Russia. This has included an attack on Britain's Stop the War coalition for, quote, betraying Ukraine, end quote. On August 20, just 4 days after his post on Bogdan, Chappell published on Anti-Capitalist Resistance an article dedicated to refuting claims, misconceptions, and fake news circulating in the left that he states, quote, are still used to remain silent or even oppose solidarity with Ukrainians who are fighting for national sovereignty against occupation and annexation by Russian imperialism, end quote. The same political aim of supporting NATO's proxy war in Ukraine animates his attack against Bogdan Cirituk, intended to ensure that his frame-up by the Zelensky regime succeeds. The WSWS does not know whether Chappell acted alone or in consultation with others. No claim is being made here about affiliations other than his association with the British Pavloites. But what can be stated with certainty is that the objective content and timing of his provocation serve the interests of the prosecution at the very same moment Bogdan's appeal is being prepared. His lies will be rejected by anyone with the faintest concern for democratic rights and the truth. The ICFI demands that International Viewpoint publicly repudiate this provocation by a member of their British section and a regular contributor to their press. The World Socialist website calls on its readers and all defenders of democratic rights to answer Chappell's provocation by joining the fight for Bogdan Cirituk's freedom. For these articles and more, including Socialism AI, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org. For the World Socialist website, this has been Jenny Campbell.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI. the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.